Coming of the sea. And so often we look at that story, we talk about what Jesus did in his words of speaking to the sea and the winds and the rain and calming the storm. This morning I want to focus a little more on the disciples and their role and their condition, their position in this story. I think it's a great story in itself, but I think it has so much application for you and I as we try to follow God, to follow Christ, to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life today. I think all of us would admit that it is as difficult or more difficult to try to live a Christian life today than it's ever been. There has never been a time in our world where it was more difficult to be a Christian. You can step up and you can say, I am a Martian. And somebody will say, well, that's wonderful. You can step up and say, I worship trees. And somebody will say, that's great. As a matter of fact, they'll probably join your cause. I pointed out at our early service, you can step up and say you're Jesus. And somebody will say, that's wonderful. And they'll and you can probably get people to follow you. In fact, throughout time, just recently, we've seen that happen. Folks stand up and say, I'm Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, people will start following. But if you stand up and say, I worship Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, that sets off alarms. You can say you're Christ, nobody cares. You can say you follow Christ, and all of a sudden, for some reason in our culture today, that seems to be an issue. There's not only the adversity, but there are more distractions. There are more things to pull you away, more things to demand our attention, more things that cause us to be distracted from following Christ and from being the man, the woman that He wants us to be than we've ever dealt with before. And as we look in this story this morning, as we see this story, you probably know the story. And just basically how it goes of Jesus and the disciples. They're working one day, and as the day goes on, Jesus says to them, "Hey, there's a ship. Come on, let's get on the ship and let's go to the other side." You know that seems innocent enough. That seems simple enough. What they didn't know, what they weren't prepared for, was that before they got to the other side, that the Bible tells us that a storm began to rage, and the waves were tossed, and the wind was blowing, and the rain was falling, and some of these disciples had been fishermen. They had been sailors themselves, and so this wasn't a new occurrence to them, and yet the Bible tells us they were scared. They were afraid. In fact, they went to Jesus and said, we're going to die. That's how bad this storm was. I remember, I don't know if like a lot of you probably, I remember in the day when we had weathermen. You don't have weathermen anymore, you have meteorologists. I'm pretty sure the weathermen were more accurate than the meteorologists, by the way. They say that just the lay of the land there around Galilee, and the way some of the hills and the mountains are shaped, that many times on a crystal blue day, on a beautiful sunny day, blue skies, that the weather can shift and come kind of almost funneled down in between the hills into the valley, and out of nowhere, even the most experienced sailor can be caught unaware and have a storm like this just swamp them. And much like where we call the where the Outer Banks of North Carolina are called the graveyard of the Atlantic, a lot of ships and a lot of sailors have been destroyed and lost in this area because of those storms. And as I thought about that, I thought, that's a lot like it is in following Christ. We're going along and it seems like everything's going good. It seems like everything is smooth, and everything is going like we planned and like we dreamed. And one phone call
from your doctor, one phone call from your mechanic, one phone call from your spouse or your child, and all of a sudden your life is turned upside down. One call from your employer or former employer, and your life is just completely upset. Everything is in a state of upheaval, and you know, we begin to question, what am I doing? Where am I going? Where is God in all of this? And does God care? And so this morning, I want us to look at this story and learn a few things from these disciples that I think are important if we're going to live a life, if we're going to sail with the Savior, if we're going to go along with Him, that there are some things that we learn from these disciples that are so critical, I think even more so in our day today. Now, I realize before I make my first point this morning, I know that some of you are going to look at me and go, well, duh, okay? You know, it really is, it's really kind of elementary, but, you know, sometimes it's the simple things in life that trip us up the most. Sometimes it's, you know, the simplest things that give us the most trouble. I heard someone a while back complaining because they'd called the cable company about their television not working, and the first thing the guy asked him says, well, is the television plugged up? You know, he said, we kind of, you know, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, sometimes you'd be surprised the number of people who call here and the TV's got unplugged somehow. And, you know, we're going through, you know, and so sometimes it's the simple things that give us the most trouble. And that's really kind of where one of the first things we learn from these disciples. If we're going to follow Christ, if we're going to be who He wants us to be, even in difficult times, even when the storms around us rage, even when things are up, I think the first thing we learn from these disciples is there has to be a single decision. The story is really pretty straightforward when you look at it. Notice what happens. Again, Christ says to them, let us go to the other side, and they launch forth. One of the simplest things that we have to make up our mind, if we're going to follow Christ, if we're going to go with Christ, if we're going to sail with Christ, if we're going to we're going to have to make our decision. I'm going to word it this way: if we're going to follow Him, we got to decide to follow Him. I mean, you know, somewhere we've just got to make that commitment. You know, if we're going to follow Christ, we've got to decide I'm going to follow Him. We've just got to make a decision in our life and say, okay, this is the direction I want my life to go. These disciples were faced with a choice. It was really kind of a straightforward decision. Go with me or don't. You know, let us go to the other side. You know, here's a boat. You know, he stands down there beside the ship and he says, listen, fellas, I'm going to the other side on this ship. If you want to be with me, get on the boat. You know, I've shared with you before, you know, I'll say to the kids sometimes, I'll say, do you want to go with me? And the first question, where are you going? Don't matter, just get on the boat. You know, just get in the car. And Caleb is about the only one weak enough to go along with that. And I've decided what that is. Caleb knows that if I stay out there long enough, we're going to eat something. And so he's willing to risk wherever we're going for lunch. And so, and really that's what Jesus says to him. If you look at this, if you think about it, what does Jesus say? Let's go to the other side. Now, let's be honest. Those of you here who are parents know what the ordinary next question is going to be. Why? I mean, you haven't even been a mama that long. Your baby's as young. They barely talk. Is that from your own experience of saying it or from your baby's asking it? Yeah, no, Tommy said it was from you asking it. Why? You know, listen, you know, Jesus, think about it. He doesn't say we're going to the other, you know, for all they know, they're going to the other side of the lake to be stoned. They don't know. You know, they don't know. They don't know we're going to the other side of the lake to eat supper. We're going to the other side of the lake to dig a ditch. We're going to the other side of the lake and we're going to get a wreck. Jesus doesn't tell them. Jesus says, if you're going with me, get in the boat. Yeah, you know, and one of the most fundamental decisions we've got to make as believers. Well, you know, and here's the thing where that really, I think you've got to be really careful and divide up here. There are a lot of people who say, I'm a Christian. And I really am to the point where I'm almost leery and wish we didn't use the word Christian. And I'll prove to you why if you'll take some time this week and test it. Just go out this week and just walk up to random folks and say, well, what in your mind, what's a Christian? and just begin to listen to all the answers you get. You know, you will get, you know, or better yet, just walk out and ask folks and say, are you a Christian? And you'll find out that pretty much everybody you meet in Concord, Kannapolis, Cabarrus County will tell you they are a Christian. You know, and so the word, but you know, there's a difference in being a Christian and being a follower of Christ. You know, I'll use that. I'll give you another example of what I'm talking about. You know, there are a lot of people who walk down an aisle, even in a church, and stand in front of mom and daddy and grandma, grandpa, friends, neighbors, and say, I do. There's a lot of difference between being married and being a husband and a wife. You know, there are a lot of folks who go through the marriage ceremony, and I can't tell you how many times that I have said in talking to couples and said, you know, I'm telling you what your problem is. You married, but you still acting single. You know, you need to understand you're not single anymore. You have a wife. You have a husband. You have children. You have responsibilities. And you need to quit running around. And this is free. I wasn't planning on preaching on marriage. But you need to quit running around with all your single buddies and acting like you're single and running here, there, and everywhere. You need to go home where your wife and children are. You need to act married. You need to not just go through the ceremony and put on the ring, but you need to be married. And a lot of people have walked down the aisle, and I'm not even saying they're not saved, that they're not Christian. I'm saying they're not following Christ. There's a difference in saying I'm a Christian and saying I'm going to follow Christ. These guys are disciples, but they've got to make up their mind if they're going to follow Christ. Get on the ship and go with Him. There has to be a decision made and just decide, well, you know what? No matter what comes, no matter what the circumstances, I am going to follow Christ. It's not just a single decision, but it is a similar direction. You know, here's one of the things, and I'm not a sailor. Some of you have been in the military. You've perhaps been in the Navy or another branch where you've actually been on ships. But I know this. Well, a ship is a lot like an airplane. You don't just go along and say, hey, you know, I think I'll get off here. You know? It was kind of before my time, but I've seen them on old black and white movies. Some of you may remember them. You know, when you're going down the road and the old bus, and you want off, and you reach up and you pull the string. I'm watching to see who nods heads, and I'm figuring out age, okay? You know, you reach up and you pull, you know, you don't get on an airplane and say, oh, I want off here. You know, this, I mean, I guess you could. It just didn't end well, you know. And ships a lot the same way. You know, you're not just saying, oh, I want off here. I mean, I get that you could, but it's probably not going to end well. You know, here's what happens. When these fellows get on this ship, Jesus tells them up front, if you get on this ship, we're going to the other side of the lake. That's where we're going. Don't try to change course. Don't complain when we get to the other side and we're on the other side of the lake. Now, here's one of my personal just things that just makes my blood pressure go up. If you move in next door to a landfill, don't complain if you smell garbage. Okay? If you move in next door to the racetrack, don't complain come May if you hear race cars. Okay? If you move in next door to the airport, don't complain next door, you know, when the airplane comes buzzing over your house to land. Now, if they build the airport, the racetrack, the dump next to you, feel free to complain. But when you move in next to it, you bought your ticket, take your ride. Okay? If you get on this ship, and it doesn't, and it goes to the other side. When you get there, don't go, well, I wasn't wanting to go to the other side. Right? Because Jesus told them, if you get on this ship, it's going to the other side. Yeah. Don't complain in a little bit when we don't just take a little circle and come right back. Don't complain when we don't stop at every port along the way. We are going to the other side. Now, here's my point. I hear a lot of Christians, professing Christians, who go about their life seeming to complain about the yoke that they took on. Yeah. Well, what does Jesus say? He says, take up your cross and follow me. If you take up the cross, they'll complain about the cross. If you take up the yoke, don't complain about the yoke. Listen, the Word of God is black and white. If you say, I'm going to follow Christ, then don't complain about where He leads. Don't question where He leads. You know, one of the things that, while I'm on my list of things that aggravate me, I'll just tell you one that's in the hymnal. Every so often we'll stand up and with just all the gumption we can muster, we'll sing, wherever He leads, I'll go. You know, I just want to have altar call after. You know, we generally sing that during the altar call. I want to have altar call after we sing it. And say, okay, for all of you who sang, wherever He leads, I'll go, and won't do anything He said, the altar is open. Now we're going to sing Just As I Am or something. Listen, if you're going to say I'm going to follow Christ, then you're going to have to make up your mind. You know, again, I use the marriage vows as a kind of, for better or worse. You know, again, I'm somewhat amazed sometimes by the marriages who fall apart when the worst comes along. Yeah, by those who just decide, I don't want to be married. Yeah. And for the Christians who decide, you know, who go through the Word of God, and I'm dumbfounded, preachers as well, who sometimes get up and say, well, I know what the Bible says here, but what it really means is this, and you just tear it apart. Listen, if you're going to follow Christ, you follow Christ, wherever He leads. There's got to be, you got to go in the, you know, the Bible makes that clear. It says what? Can two go together? Can they two walk together if they're not agreed? Yeah. Jesus, you know, I tell you the problem. The problem was summed up in one bumper sticker. That one that says, God is my co-pilot. No, God is the pilot. Get on the boat and follow Him. A single decision, a similar direction, and then finally a steadfast dedication. To make up your mind. The Bible says that the storms began to rage, the wind began to blow, and I'm not a sailor, never have been, not volunteer. You know, I just tell you that right now. You know, I know that about me. You know, I don't mind the water. I like the water. I've been in water all my life. I'm even old and fat, I'll still, you know, get in the pool and race if you want to. I can swim. I just, you know, I'm a pretty decent swimmer. I'm long-winded, so I can hold my breath a long time. Even if you put me under, I'll stay there for a while. Yeah. And so, makes Rhonda mad. I can't tell you the time she's tried to drown me and I come up anyway. You know. But I do remember very vividly the first boat my father ever owned. As far as I know, the first one he owned, I remember. And the first fishing trip we ever went on in that boat. And we were down at Old Whitney. I don't know how many of you know what I'm talking about. How about down below Pat and Mix? I'll give this crowd directions based on a fish camp. That'll probably do better. Okay? And we were on down the lake a little ways, and out of nowhere, storm blew up. And I mean, it was a doozy. Now, I told y'all, and if you don't like it, I'm scared of lightning. If you got a snake, call me. I'll come over and help you get rid of your snake. Unless it's a thunderstorm. I'm not coming. Okay? Just not happening. I was scared. I mean, the wind was blowing. And like I said, I'm a pretty good swimmer. You know. And I remember thinking, we was kind of long hugging the bank trying to stay out of the deep water. And I remember thinking, if you'll get a little closer, I'll get out and walk. I'll meet you at the truck. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. That's scary. You know, but again, you just got, you know, I'll give you another example. I remember one time I was fishing. And we were literally, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, we were on High Rock Lake under the bridge at Tamarack Marina. We had put the boat in at the wildlife landing. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with that, if you got a good arm, you could probably take and throw a rock from that bridge to the boat landing. I mean, it's literally that close. It's dark. We're fishing. You know how in the summer sometimes, I don't know if it's real, we always call it heat lightning. Way off in the distance, you kind of see the sky flash. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom! It wasn't way off in the distance no more. I'm grabbing junk and throwing junk in the boat just as fast as we can go. And the guy that's with me, he wasn't, anyway, I told him, I said, we're doing our best. I'm telling you, I said, it wasn't about, I said, it's, I don't know, we might have been 50 feet, 150 horsepower motor, we're getting out of this lake. And I told him, I gave him the keys, I said, go get the boat. Go get the trailer, back the trailer in the lake. And I don't know why I fell for that. And I should have told him, stay with the boat, and I'll go get my, you know, because I left me sitting in the boat in the water in the storm. You know, listen, you know, I knew I had to stay, because I knew I had to stay with the boat. You just can't bail. Listen, you got to be, there are things in life that's going to challenge you. I'm just saying, here's what I'm going to guarantee you. Some of you saying today say, you know, that sounds good. I'm going to make a decision to follow Christ. Let me tell you what's going to happen before the sun sets today. Your dedication is going to be challenged. Probably by one of your relatives. Just to be honest with you. Some of you are going to go to lunch with some of your kin. And they're going to challenge your relationship with God. I'm just once again looking around to see who's nodding their head and see, you know, it's interesting to watch the response. All of you ought to preach once and just stand here and watch some of the response you get. There's going to be storms. Here's what happens. There's distractions. The storms cause them to forget. Yeah. Think about this. Yeah. 30 minutes ago, an hour ago, Jesus says, you want to go with me to the other side? Sure, Jesus, let's go. You know, they've been walking around with Jesus, walking Jesus, watching Jesus heal sick, feed the hungry, do all kinds of things. First lightning bolt, first crash of the waves, water comes, and, you know, Jesus, we're going to die. You know, they immediately free. You know, let me point out to you what Jesus said. Jesus says, let us go to the other side. I don't remember when, and I'm sure I'm not the first person that ever dawned on them. But I remember when that first dawned on me, I remember that first thought. Jesus doesn't say, get on the ship, let's go halfway and die. He doesn't say, get on the ship, let's go halfway and sink. He doesn't say that. He said, get on the ship, we're going to the other side. But guess what happened? The wind blew, the rain fell, and the waves crashed. They forgot. Anybody in here ever forget you're a follower of Christ? That's not real fun to admit. Yeah. Cashier ever shortchange you and you forget you're a follower of Christ? You know, the bill come from the phone company and it's wrong. They've doubled it up or something or charged you for a long distance call to New Guinea that you didn't make or something. And you call them and you're actually talking to somebody in New Guinea. And you forget you're a follower of Christ. You know what the storms of life cause us to do a lot of times? Forget we're a follower of Christ. You know, Martin, you ever have a customer come in the store that kind of challenges you? Archie, you ever have to go out and make an inspection on some of these people that, you know, make you almost forget? I said almost. I'm letting you off the hook, bud. Almost forget you're a follower of Christ? Almost? Kevin, you ever go in them doctor's offices and the way they're doing things, them hospitals, some of them make you almost forget? You fall every day? Ever stop? Yeah. Your children? Your husband? Your wife? It'll cause you to forget sometimes if you're not careful. See, there are distractions in saying, I'm going to follow Christ. There's distractions. We'll forget. And we get fearful. Listen, the ship was filled with water. I'm no sailor, but I know this. Water belongs on the outside, not on the inside. These guys were terrified. There are a lot of things. You ever get in a situation in life, the problems in life, and they cause you to fear following Christ? I've shared with you before. I'll never forget as long as I live. We're in Beijing. We're there, and I'm coming down that elevator, and a little Chinese fellow there, and I didn't know he spoke any English, so I'm just standing there, minding my business, and I'm kind of keeping an eye on him because I don't trust him. He's Chinese, and I'm in his country. I got my eyes on him, and all of a sudden he looks at me in better English than I speak, which isn't taking a lot, but he looks at me with all, he says, "Are you a Christian?" No, first he says, "Are you American?" I said, "Yep." I answer that one. "Are you a Christian?" Let me think that one through a minute. How am I going to answer that one safely and securely? I want to be honest, but I want to live to get home. And I said, and Rhonda knows this now, but I hadn't told her then. Not long before we left, I'd heard the story about a pastor and his wife getting killed in China. And so, here I am, and I don't know what you know about China, but they're not exactly Christian friendly, we're coming down this elevator, and he says, "You're a Christian." And I'm standing there thinking, how am I going to answer that question? And what am I going to say? And finally, I just, I'd like to tell you how courageous and brave I was, but I just finally said, yeah, I am. And he says, "Me too." Give me a minute, brother. Hang on, we're going to hang in the lobby and sit down. We'll talk. I'd like to tell you, how courageous and what a revival we had. I got to be honest with you. It took me an hour to do good gathering myself after that one. Come to find out, an old boy told me he'd been saved. He'd been in America and been up to the cove in Asheville and got saved up there as part of the Billy Graham ministry. But I said, I'd like to tell y'all, "Yes, sir, I'm a Christian. What about it?" I'm not going to lie. And when he said, "Me too," I'll be honest with you. That ranked right up there. We're finally hearing them wheels hit down in Charlotte. Not Newark, New Jersey. That didn't count. Not Washington, D.C. That didn't. Charlotte, and to be very honest with you, Charlotte wasn't even my, seeing the lights of home. I don't care nothing for Charlotte, Newark, or Washington. Not necessarily in that order. Are you a Christian standing in a communist country? Fear will get you, And here I stand in that elevator, me and him. Just me and him. I could have said, and listen, believe me, I promise you, I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, my stomach, I had to sit down and untie it. I'm not trying to tell you that bragging. I'm telling you, I was scared. It was me and him on that elevator. I could have looked him square in the eyes and said, "A what?" Kind of like that time I ordered a cheer wine in Florida. And the guy said, "What?" "A Christian, what? What's that? Never heard of one." Fear will challenge you whether or not you're going to follow him. Fear will challenge you. Some of you here, especially some that are perhaps younger than some of the rest of us who have grown up in a way different culture and generation than we have, went to school in a way different time than some of your parents and grandparents, know what it's like to be challenged. I just saw the other day of a little girl who wrote a paper on her hero, and she wrote her paper that her hero was Jesus. And ended up a lot of flack and grief over that. Fear will challenge your following, and it'll cause you to lose your focus. Here's what happens. We get afraid, we get forgetful, and then we lose focus. Anybody here ever tried to follow anybody in a car? In particular, it's one thing to follow somebody in Reimertown. I'm talking about somewhere like Charlotte, down 29 when the race is in town or something like that. All you got to do is be going down the road and go, "Oh, when did they build that building?" Just that quick, they're gone. Just that quick. You're confused, don't know where you are. Let me give you all a word of caution. If you're going somewhere and you got to follow somebody, and you really want to get there, let Rhonda drive. But close your eyes. Because they're not losing her. Uh-uh. They might get hit by her. And they ride up on the sidewalk. Rhonda's up on the sidewalk with them. And, they run over two pedestrians. Rhonda just gets them again. You're not going to lose her if she's following you. But if you ride and... that's one of them. How many of y'all remember them old station wagons they used to have with the seat in the back facing out? The back. That's what you need if you're riding with her most of the time, but especially if she's following somebody, because you don't want to see it. I'm telling you. If you're trying to follow something, you can lose them. I remember years ago, my grandfather was following me to the beach. We're going through Bennettsville, South Carolina, down there where the bypass turned off. I turn right to go around the bypass, and I look in my mirror. There goes my grandma, fading down the road. Of course, this is the same man who drove all day long till dark one day, and I got out to ask where they were, and they were still in Charlotte. You lose your focus for a moment, and you lose the leader. Listen, I don't mean to be an alarmist or a pessimist, I'm trying to be a realist. It just takes one indiscretion, one bad decision. Take your eyes off the leader for a moment, and you're lost in the woods. If we're going to be followers of Christ, we've got to make up our mind and say, you know what? I'm going to follow Him. Wherever He leads. No matter the fear. No matter what else comes on. I'm going to put my focus on Him. You know what happens. When the storms and the problems of life come along, what happens? We focus on the storm. We focus on the storm. Can I suggest a little similar story to you? How many of you know little children? Have you ever seen this happen? When the storm begins, small children I'm talking about, when the lightning begins to crash, the thunder booms, and the winds begin to blow, what happens to the child? Stuck to mama's leg, stuck to daddy's leg, right there. Right there. Listen, remember what Jesus told us? Jesus told us one time to be like little children. To focus on the Master and follow Him. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. There are some of you here this morning who, as painful as it may be to admit, would say, you know what? I am a Christian. I have accepted Him as my Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, I'm going to heaven. I know that. But I also know I haven't been the follower that I should be. That I haven't always followed Him like I should. And this morning I want to come and make that commitment, that decision. I want to kneel and say, Lord, help me to follow You wherever You lead, no matter the storm, no matter the cost. Let me follow You. There might be someone here this morning who would say, Jimmy, you know what? I don't know that. I don't know Christ. I've never asked Him into my heart. I don't know Him as my personal Savior. You want to come this morning and let us show you from God's Word how you can know Him, how you can be saved today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you need to come and follow Him as your personal Savior. However God speaks to you as we stand today,